A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. The word of the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting.
Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting.
I was hard pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. The joyful shout of victory in the tents of the just.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. But by the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one that testifies, and the Spirit is truth. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
What is the word that is living? It is brought to us through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Beloved, we are in the midst of the 50 days of the season of Easter. It's a season unlike any other, and it is the season which confirms the greatest of all the mysteries in terms of the events of the Christ, the eternal Word of God taking flesh so as to redeem the world. We know very well, St. Paul says, if Christ be not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain, and those who have been charged to preach this gospel are the most pitiable of men. But as it is, Jesus Christ is risen today. This is the mystery. This is the reality that the disciples then and the disciples now are continuing to try and cultivate an understanding of so as to live to the full what is now ours in Christ. And what is that? Joy and peace, which the world cannot give. Joy and peace, which emanate from heaven. You know, we like to say, and if I was to ask the question, what would you prefer, a joyful, exuberant time or a melancholy, sad, sorrowful time? I am sure if I took a poll, every hand up in here would say, joyful and exuberant, Father. But let us be honest about it. How good are we? How well have you and I mastered the reality of joy and rejoicing in our time, in our day? It's much easier to move from a great day to a terrible day. You doubt that? Just wait a little bit and drive out onto Belchase Highway. You'll find out exactly what I'm talking about. Now, we try to reverse that. It's seemingly and almost impossible to move from a terrible day to a great day. And yet, we have to be honest, we have done, as a mystical body of Christ, as a church, we have done, and we are masterful at observing penance, fasting, almsgiving, mortifications. But we are not so proficient with cultivating joy. In fact, maybe already has come to you. Here we are, 1 week removed, and this is the eighth day. This event is so magnanimous. The church gives us, just like at Christmas, 8 days to celebrate what has come to pass. And yet, we are already experiencing the whole hum of the world. We are. Why is that? Because no sooner this joy, does an experience of joy or something great comes about, we are what? We are looking towards the next thing. We're looking to move on to the next thing, that we don't even receive that which is in front of us. This is the issue. And this is one of the reasons why Holy Mother Church gives us 50 days to cultivate the joy of the Lord. And it's the joy of the Lord first. It's His joy first, and then it's ours. He gives it to us. Remember, in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, it says that Jesus disdained the shame of the cross. He disdained it. But He embraced it and looked beyond, because He saw the joy that lay ahead of Him beyond the cross. What was Jesus doing early in the morning before the sun rose, and they discovered the tomb empty? Where was He? This is a question that we don't spend enough time with, but the early church spent time with it. And you know what they concluded? He couldn't wait to go with haste to His beloved mother, who of all of human beings ever brought into the world was the most sorrowful and heartbroken in the wake of His horrific death on the cross. He couldn't wait to go to her in a disposition of joy, declaring the victory of life. The most sorrowful of all mothers of women in the world became the most joyful and exuberant in the embrace of her son. And now it's ours. It's ours to embrace. It's ours to take. To receive, shall we say, not take it, receive it. He's giving it to us. There's a difference between having to take something and receive it. It's ours if we choose. Jesus comes into the room of disciples who are still perplexed, even though it's a week removed. They've already experienced Him. Thomas was away, and thank God for Thomas. Thomas stands in for us. He's the one, whenever you are in a conference or a group gathering, and the floor is opened up for questions or comments, you know, there's always one person who's willing to speak up and say something. And that's who Thomas is. Thank God for Thomas, because if they had to wait for the majority to say something, there would be a cold day in August, and you know how that is in the South. Almost impossible. But Thomas was the one, even when they came and told, we've seen the Lord, he has risen, blah, blah, blah. I don't care what you are until I see him and touch him. I want to probe the nail marks in his hands and put my hand inside. I will not believe. Now, Jesus had every right to come and give Thomas a good piece of his mind. But he's not that way. He's never been that way. He never will be that way. Jesus is about recreation. He's about new creations. He's about breathing life into what was once dead. He's about realizing new realities that couldn't even be fathomed until the end of the world. Everybody's expecting a resurrection at the end of the world, never before the end of the world, and so it has come to pass. And so he says to you and I, peace, shalom, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. We don't know. Did Thomas take Jesus up? Now, he was talking big talk, but now once Jesus reappeared and told him, come here now, did he act on the Lord's request? We don't know, but what we do know is that after witnessing Jesus for himself, he fell to his knees for all practical purposes and declared, my Lord and my God, which is most significant. Because from appearances, before the resurrection, Jesus looked like any other human being. We often think we're at a disadvantage because they were with the Lord and they saw the signs. They saw him walk on water. They saw him cleanse lepers. They saw him bring Jairus' daughter from the dead, Lazarus from the dead. You name the miracle that's recorded in the gospel, and you and I can all say, yeah, it was easy for them to come to faith. And I'll say to one and all, no, it wasn't. Jesus was not the first person that God raised up that worked signs and wonders to confirm and authenticate their commissioning by God. That was not enough for them. It wasn't easy for them, and it's not easy for us. Thank God that Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You believe because you've seen and you've touched me. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. It took them time. It took them time to come to realize the joy of the kingdom of heaven, the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding. It's one of the last things we hear before we receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament in Mass. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. This is the scripture. 50 days has been accorded to us to cultivate joy, to be a people of joy. Doesn't mean we're going to go around with a silly grin on our face. Some people look at you like you're a lunatic. You do that. But it's to have this type of a disposition that's able to take on whatever this world puts in front of them and to know for certain that Jesus is here. He is in the midst. He has given me the ability to lay hold of this cross and to raise it up as a sign of victory and not of defeat. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. He breathed on them. Could you imagine that? Jesus breathing on you. If you ever go to the Chrism Mass, where the oils are blessed and sent out to all the parishes, there comes a point in the ceremony where the bishop actually leans over each of the containers of the oils and he breathes on the oils, each one, the Spirit, that Spirit of God. It's a new creation that we're being brought to realize here. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday. This is the gospel. This is the biblical basis of the institution of the sacrament of confession, commonly known as confession or reconciliation. It's entrusted to the church by Christ, the head. The disciples then, now, have passed it on. Every sign, every wonder that the apostles, that the saints performed in the years past and even in these present times were not performed in their name. They didn't preach the gospel so as to draw people to themselves, but to draw them, if they were authentic witnesses of the Lord Jesus, their preaching led them to the Lord, not to themselves. In fact, you always know the false preacher, the false prophet, when they are gathering people to themselves and they don't take the time to say, no, don't come to me. I am but the messenger. Go to the one who has sent me. Always remember that. It's in the name of Jesus that these signs are worked. This is the power. This is the grace that is ours. So, how do we cultivate this? It's difficult. We've already established that. Pay attention to the accounts of the resurrection, especially as the Acts of the Apostles, which is our first reading throughout this Easter season. Notice what and how the community is described. He spent 40 days with them after rising from the dead. Nobody, you notice, none of the accounts say they went off and preached this way and that way and did this miracle or that miracle. None of the disciples, neither did Jesus. Why? Because they remained together. He was opening their minds. He was transforming their hearts to be able to receive the fullness of the life he came to give to such an extent that he would become all in all. When I am lifted up, I shall draw all men to myself. This is our task. This is our mission. One of our parishioners this week on Friday, first Friday of this month of April, said, Father, I have to tell you, I'm kind of embarrassed, I'm kind of ashamed to say this to you. I said, don't be, please tell me. Father, today was the very first time in my entire life that I went to adore Jesus in the most blessed sacrament on a first Friday. I said, praise him and thank him. Praise him and thank him. She said, Father, I didn't know. I talked to one of the other parishioners because it was my first time. I didn't know what to do. And they told me, just come and be there. You can bring your scriptures if you want something. And just sit. But mainly, it's just about being present to the one who's always present to us. I told her, blessed are you. I said, now you understand. Now you've got it. And it doesn't just have to be when he's exposed in an extraordinary way in the monstrance. He's always there. He is the prisoner of love, making himself available to us who are the soldiers of love. Anytime we try to keep this church open from after morning mass until 4 in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, just come and sit. Say, Jesus, I just wanted to say hello. I need you today. I might have missed you, but I want you to know I thank you for getting me up this morning. I got a little ahead of myself, but I love you. And I know you're loving me because I'm still here. That's right. The day the Lord stops loving you or thinking of you, you cease to exist. So on this Divine Mercy Sunday, as we strive to be a people of joy, who are trying to maintain and sustain that joy, I want to conclude with the optional prayer, which is the opening prayer of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and close with the optional closing prayer of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And then I want to encapsulate everything, because you know the person that the Lord has entrusted to us and whom she has been charged with. His mother is the one who will help us to cultivate joy. She is the one who says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And so I will encapsulate everything in the beautiful prayer known as the Regina Caeli, which is the prayer that dominates the Easter season and takes the place of the Angelus for the 50 days of Easter. And so this is my prayer for you and for me, because I'm right with you on this way together. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And now the beautiful Regina Caeli. Queen of heaven, rejoice. Alleluia. For he whom you did merit to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. Pray to us, pray for us to God, alleluia, for the Lord has truly risen, alleluia. O God, who gave joy to the world through the resurrection of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, his mother, we may obtain the joys of everlasting life through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God love you.